where Jesus raised him from the dead. So last week we looked at the introductory part where Jesus had his interaction with the disciples about holding back, if you will, to allow Lazarus to die so that Jesus could then bring him back to life. But at this point, the disciples don't understand that, but they will very soon, won't they? So we finished there in verse 16. Tonight we'll start at verse 17 of John 11. The Bible says, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So verse 26, shall never die. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We pray you'd use your word to teach and grow us tonight. We thank you for the privilege to meet in the middle of the week and just be encouraged from your precious and powerful word. May you be lifted up in this time. And Lord, may we grow. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So she had enough faith to believe that Jesus would one day bring the final resurrection. And that's wonderful. But she still didn't comprehend that Jesus actually had the power to bring someone back to life right then. And remember, the God that we serve, the God that indwells us, is a God that works miracles, that can do anything. And we often focus on the future, on heaven and that resurrection and joining the Lord. But we need to also realize that God is with us now. And God can do anything. And he says, ask and you shall receive. He says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And so God, Jesus is trying to explain to her that I'm here and I am the resurrection. I am the life. And I do have the power to bring your brother back to life, even though he's been in the grave all this time. Because when he said there in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again, she said, well, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection. And, of course, that's true for all of us, isn't it? That we will be part of the resurrection. The Bible talks about this. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15:19, we'll look at a couple of scriptures. But we have this to look forward to, this hope that we call it in the scriptures in Christ, this hope of the future, hope of eternal life, hope of a resurrection of life. And notice 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What does he mean by that? He means if it's only about what's in this life, then we as Christians miss the mark. It's true, isn't it? If there is no God, if there is no eternity, then we miss the mark, because eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But we do have a creator, and our creator has revealed his will to us, and there is an eternity, and we will spend that eternity if we're born again with him, which will make this short time on earth seem like nothing. But the Bible says in Philippians 3:21, he will change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. One day we will have a body like Jesus' resurrected body. Imagine that. No more aches and pains. Now, verse 24, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. Most Jews believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees did, and most Jews did. The only ones who didn't were the Sadducees. And the easiest way to remember which is they're Sadducee because they don't believe in a resurrection. And that's how I always remember it. I mean, I know it sounds kind of silly, but the Pharisees did believe in a resurrection, and they did believe in angels, and they did believe in, and the Sadducees didn't believe in those things. And that's quite sad, isn't it? Even Job, if you go to Job 19, the oldest book in the Bible, even Job believed in a resurrection. Go to Job 19, verse 25. And we'll be reminded that this book was written a good 1,500 years before Christ. And Job would have lived that time, 15 centuries before Jesus. And look what he says in 19:25. I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So even though my body is going to go into the grave and the worms are going to eat it up, I'm still going to see God in the flesh someday. I'm going to get a new body, in other words. So even Job believed in the resurrection, and the Jews for the most part did. But that's not what Jesus was talking about, is it? He was saying, I'm going to raise him now, which they're going to soon be able to enjoy. So back to our passage, John 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is one of the I ams of the Gospel of John. Remember, there are 12 of them. And here Jesus is claiming to be the resurrection and the life. So he's not only saying that he will participate or facilitate the resurrection, he's saying he is the resurrection. And he's not only saying that he has the power to give life, he's saying he is life. In other words, he has to be God. So he's claiming that he is Jehovah. If you go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, we'll see that he is making this claim by claiming to be life. Go to Deuteronomy 30, where Jehovah, to the Old Testament Jews, claimed to be life. Deuteronomy 30, 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Look at this next phrase, for he is thy life. Who's speaking here? Jehovah, all caps L-O-R-D, says he is thy life. So when Jesus claimed to be the life, he's claiming to be the Old Testament Jehovah who said to the Jews, I am your life. And Jesus Christ is the great I am. Remember, he said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins, in John 8:24. So he's claiming here to be the I am. And because he's the I am, the resurrection of the life, verse 25, he says, he that believeth in me. It all comes down to that, doesn't it? Faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Before we are saved, we are dead. After we are saved, we are alive. And it's putting faith in Christ that makes all that possible. So look at John 5:24. We'll look at a few scriptures on this, how the Lord brings us from death to life at salvation. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word and heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise the Lord. That's what God did for us. We went from death unto life when we got saved. Ephesians 2:1 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. Before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. So verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. Amen. When we get saved, we not only get life, we get a new life. Amen. That's what he means when he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So Paul was saying, now I not only have life, but now Jesus is living life through me. And praise God, that's true for all of us. Go to Romans 6:4 and we'll see this, that we now have the privilege of living or allowing Jesus to live life through us. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Newness of life. So when we believed on Christ, we made a choice to live in Christ and to allow him to live through us. And now everything is new. because of that. Go to Colossians 3 and we'll see this. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Fantastic passage about this new life that we have. We have new goals. We have a new destination. We have a new body. We have a new message. Everything's new. We have a new song. Notice Colossians 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, that's us, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Verse 3, for ye are dead. So the old man's dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life. There it is again. He didn't just give us life, he now is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So he's sharing this with Martha, but he's also sharing with us, isn't he? That whosoever liveth and believeth in me, when we were born again, we got a new life in Christ. Notice verse 26 now, the title of the message, shall never die. Those are three of the most powerful words for us as Christians, aren't they? That we will never die. Some of the most comforting words we could ever hear at a funeral for a Christian, shall never die. That we have everlasting life. And that started the day we got saved, amen? So if you're born again, you already have present possession, hath everlasting life. How many times did he say that? Just in the Gospel of John, hath it now. We have it. We have everlasting life. So if we could die again, it wasn't very everlasting, was it? We are going to live forever. And that's why Paul said, I'm willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. So for us, death is gone. We will never die. Look at 2 Timothy 1:10 and we'll see where God uses the word abolished. I love this word. 2 Timothy 1:10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 1:10, who hath abolished death. Isn't that good? When Jesus rose from the dead, he abolished death. It means he destroyed it. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so if we live and believe in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, we will never die. And he turns to Martha and he says, verse 26, believest thou this? You believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that if you live and believe in me, you'll never die? Believest thou this? That Jesus has the power to give life? So if you don't believe he has the power to give life, you can't be saved. I mean, why even get saved if it's not to receive eternal life, if it's not to be rescued from eternal death? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So she knew his person. He's the Christ, the Old Testament Messiah. He is the Son of God, which should come into the world. In other words, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus Christ is the one who came into the world to save sinners. And she said, I believe it, Lord. And next week, we'll see him raise Lazarus. But for us, the raising of Lazarus speaks volumes, doesn't it? It says that we will never die. Now, someone asked the question last Wednesday night, does that mean poor Lazarus had to come back? It looks like he did. Poor guy. Can you imagine? Now, we talked about he most likely wasn't in heaven because heaven wasn't available yet because Christ hasn't died yet. He was most likely in Abraham's bosom, as we read in Luke 16. But even then, it was a place of paradise. It was a wonderful place. That remember, they spoke across the great gulf to the rich man who was in torment. So they were conscious, they were talking, and, you know, Lazarus was one of those rare people that God had to say, well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is you get to live with me forever. The bad news is you're going to be one of those people that I have to send back for a little while. Now, Paul got a glimpse of heaven, and he had to come back. And after he got that glimpse of heaven, he had a death wish, didn't he? He basically said, the only reason I'm staying behind is for the churches, but I really want to go. And then John was given a glimpse, and he had the same attitude. I'd rather go and be with the Lord. Well, who wouldn't after getting a taste of it? But no, we don't believe in soul sleep, and therefore, yes, we do believe Lazarus was a special case, and he had to come back for a little while. We don't read in the Bible about when he actually died the second time, but of course he would have. But he was going to be that amazing object lesson for billions of people that Jesus Christ, while he was on earth and always, has the power to give life and to bring people back from the dead. That's great encouragement for you and me, isn't it? That we shall never die. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your